Hello, this is Lisa Russick.
And Misty Lore.
With the podcast, We Are All Psychic. And today we have a really rad guest, and we're both so excited he is here. His name is Scott. Scott, would you like to say hello?
Hello, Misty and Lisa. Glad to be here, and look forward to our talk.
We just talked to listeners and watchers. This is a video on Spotify for forever. And so I finally had to say, yeah, we had to start recording. We had to do it. Because Misty and I are both geeked about the topic, extremely excited. And but first, we have to ask you: do you think we're all psychic?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And it's interesting you say that, because certainly when I got connected with Nicole, about a little over a year ago, listening to our podcast and then got involved with the book, I became, very much, curious about. And I mean, I knew some things about, angels and spirits and stuff, and, religious background, which I left, but still pursued a spiritual connection. But certainly through the podcast and Nicole's guests, dove in very deeply into the matter. And as a result, I started, my own psychic abilities started popping up and unfolding.
And at this point, listeners and watchers, when he says Nicole, he means Nicole from the podcast, The Psychic Story. So
Nicole Bigley,
she's right. Been on our podcast. I think it was about a year ago, maybe, or some year.
Yeah.
That's who he's talking about.
We're
fans.
Interesting story how we got connected on the book. So she's a co-author on the book, Looking for Angels as well. But just briefly, just being in the mix and listening to all the mediums and witches and psychics and numerologists, and then they all said, "Well, just ask your, ask and ask for signs, ask for." And the first thing, bang, was a animal guide came to me.
What was it?
She is Shira. It's a leopard.
Yes.
And she's here. It was strange because I read an article.
We were just talking about leopards before you got in.
Okay.
That's just very strange. That's why I gave Misty a look. I was like, we were just talking about leopard brain.
Yeah.
And leopard.
So I heard one of our guests talk about it. I read an article and they said, just ask. And the next morning, bang. Maybe 7 months now, 8 months, Shira is like right here. And then I even found the listeners can't see it, but I found
their watchers. We're going to put this as a video on Spotify. So the listeners can't see it, but the watchers
leopard,
can.
With, I think it's called Dalmatian Jasmine. It's a figurine of a leopard.
It's so cute. Love it.
In my mind, she's right here all the time. Every now and then I'll almost reach over, and that's how real it is.
Did you meet her? What was that like?
I just said, and please send me a spirit animal if I could have one.
Did it just right then happen?
Next morning, I went to sleep kind of with that intention, woke up, and then just saw her in my mind's eye right here all
the
time.
You just did. Yeah, you knew it.
Yeah. And so, my background is my family. Not into any of this stuff, and then all my friends are engineers, right? And my friends of 60 years. I mean,
I'm
blessed to have good friends for my whole lifetime. I share about these things with them, and they're like, yeah, I don't think so.
But they still, they don't mind looking into it. Right.
They certainly accept. We accept each other. But in any case, that was kind of my first step into that, like a real, type of spiritual connection. And then, then talk about your spirit team. And then I kind of started getting a feeling of, people or beings like behind me, at times.
Yeah.
And then sometimes at night, not definitive.
Did it feel like good or bad or
good? Oh, very, very good. Good.
Yeah, you could tell definitely. Right.
And then, here's the most powerful thing that came through was growing up. I had a family friend of ours was our teacher at our high school. My family was big into high school wrestling. So he was my wrestling coach. Teacher in several graphic arts types of classes. And every year he would bring a bunch of us on bicycle rides, you know, like 2-3 day bike rides. And he was my mentor. I mean, my dad, I love him so much, loved him so much. But Bob was my mentor, my life mentor. And so he passed away from mesothelioma in 2015. And so just in this time, like spirit guides, whatever, all of a sudden I got an impression of him. And a couple times I almost hear his voice, and I'm like, Bob, you know, and it wasn't like, and so for me, I'm the inquiring mind, you know, I'm a psychologist, inquiring mind. And I said, well, could that be my thoughts, or is that, you know, him, or what?
And you hear about thought insertion in psychology.
Yes. Like, hmm. So in any case, he's been with me, and he tells me, you know, and some of the things are just things I remember him saying, you know, over the years.
But it was like a moment that meant something, right? You weren't just thinking about him and remembering it on purpose. It just kind of came to you. That's kind of the impression I was getting.
Right. And then some statements are new statements, like pertaining to the specific time, like last month, you know. So that's another connection that
sounds like your mediumship is waking up, or if nothing else, it's been there and you're just now checking it out.
Okay, so here's the thing. I'm like, okay, I'm getting this now, and everybody says that we're all psychics and it all can be developed. And, you know, meanwhile, I'm listening to these guests who are just incredible. You know, they're like, you know, they're very developed skills and very intuitive, whatever they are. They're extremely high level, I'd say. So like, okay, even they say anybody can do it.
Yeah.
So I said, all right, I'm going to double down on this. And I signed up, and I'm right in the middle of it now, is a divine mediumship course taught by Carolyn Smith Jones. And she's been teaching this course, get this, 40 years. She's been teaching the same course, and I'm sure it's changed. But it's like, I'm in week 3, and I'm just blown away, I mean, by this stuff we're doing. And so,
what have you learned?
So the way Carolyn does this, you know, it's briefly, is she starts off by saying we need to adjust our hearing, you know, and our senses. You know, we're programmed in this world, you know, some people call it the game show reality, you know, buzzers and, you know, this and that. And so she develops tools and exercises to help us listen and see and hear through that. So her big thing is Mozart, and Mozart's work has kind of two levels to it. And I didn't know this, but there's kind of a high level melody, mid and high tones, and then there's a low tone, low baritones and low notes. And her thing is that you listen to that, and you listen to the low tones. And you listen to that, you know, you're opening yourself to that. And then that'll start the process of helping you hear things differently. And then there's different things, like we have a rock and a plant. She says, get a rock and a plant and take, you know, listen to Mozart,
meditate. Have a conversation with it. Yeah, yes. Right? No, you can.
And then, yes.
He'll talk.
So
he'll say things anyway, you did not make up.
Yeah. And so those types of things, and a few others. Great. And then she even had, like, week 3, last, you know, so I'm in the fourth week. Last week, week 3, there was she calls the sandbox, where the 20 of us in the class, she says, all right, just, you know, in Zoom gallery mode, right? All these squares. She says, turn your face aside, and out of the corner of your eye, pick someone that's kind of drawn to you. And then when you do that, then kind of meditate. And then if you feel right, say, you know, Lisa, I have a message for you. Or may I give you a message? That's the thing.
Oh, you kind of get permission. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. May I give you a message? And then you just.
Yes.
Go with it.
I'll take a message.
Yeah, so And it's just amazing. It's just
amazing. That is really sounds like she knows like a lot of different ways to teach different types of learners too.
Yeah.
Just like demonstrations for different kinds of people, like learning types. That's really good.
So the long answer to your question is yes. I think
it's a great answer, and details, more details, the better. But at
the same time, I kind of observed, and for what it's worth, I think people have psychic senses because they just come to Earth with them. You know,
yes,
some people,
it's in our body. I think it's our skill. I think it's a skill. Just,
from the early, some people before the womb, before incarnation, they're connected. And then there's other people that have developed them through trauma.
We talked to a lot of those people on the podcast.
Mm. Yeah.
We've probably had, I guess, over, Missy, would you say like 250 guests, 240 guests? We have over 300 podcasts, but most of them are interviews. Mm. Mm-hmm. And most of them, they were aware of their abilities because of traumas, tiptoeing around empathy. Yeah. You know, if it's severe trauma, even like dissociating and stuff like that. But then you actually not dissociating into a fantasy world, but dissociating into an angelic realm or something like that.
Right. Disconnecting.
This is going away from their body and astral traveling sometimes. And they learn to travel that way. Stuff like that.
And so the critics will say, in trauma, you disassociate and we have a different kind of disorders that can come off from that. But like, no, this is totally different.
I think we can dissociate and also have the real experience. I mean, when I think of dissociate, I think of like in terms of you lose your identity of your own, but you're still kind of aware of it. But for me, the dissociating like that, the way I mean it is kind of like, you put yourself aside and you're just like right into that, mindset or perspective or whatever you want. It can be a beneficial thing. It can be stepping into someone's shoes, not as but as a way to heal them or help them learn something like what you do, like teaching people stuff or learning on your end what your teacher does, like what you're doing in the podcast now and what your teacher does, it's in that way. I think it's kind of like that.
I think dissociative.
Yeah, the disorder itself.
Disorders, like, schizophrenia and dissociative identity disorder, personality, and all that. That's on the psychological side. It's a bad thing. But I can see what you're saying there, that, we certainly, it's good.
Yeah,
it's
a good thing. In that way for a lot of the people who've been guests on our podcast. That's what they said they found out in the end. Not in the end, but at the places they were at when they heal, they were healing this wound, these traumas, still working on it.
Yes.
They look back and they're like, wow, that's when I was astral projecting. That's when no one else did it. I didn't know it. So this person can go dream. But I've just had someone recently on the podcast who can dream, and every single dream this person has had almost his entire life, he can control. He's had all his dreams are lucid dreams. I'd never heard of that before, and we talked about that. It was very interesting to me, and that was like a form. I don't know if he had trauma or anything, but he did learn to dissociate at a young age because he said he had dreams, nightmares, and he had to get out of the nightmares so he learned to control his dreams. So I thought that was really interesting.
I can get that. I can totally.
But
get
he
that.
Was like he was like two. He says what he remembered were like squares and triangles, shapes chasing him. And, then he had to get away from the square or the circle or the sphere or and he finally just turned around and told them what, I guess, and he took control of it. And he said he never had another dream that he knew of other than those where he was out of control of the dream completely. So, and this person says yes to the question, but he wouldn't have maybe 10 years ago, ever. So it's just fascinating what I have learned from a lot of people that they've been able to do. So he can, in his dreams, if he feels like it, he can just, go see Hawaii. we talked about, is it astral traveling? Is it different? We don't know. But
remote viewing.
He says he can choose that. He can do that in his dreams. Yeah. If I wanted to, I could. I have done that, he says.
Yeah. Have you heard about remote viewing?
I can remote view, and he doesn't know about remote viewing. We did explain that to him, his wife and I, but, He didn't think it was that exactly because he has movement to get there.
It's really weird how he explained it.
Yeah, he has like a movement feeling. Now, some listener wrote in and said they thought it might be quantum jumping, but I don't know. I didn't really learn what that was. And so I wanted to spend some time with it and I haven't gotten to yet. So
the for this book, we conducted an international study. And we asked 800 people, because that's all I had the budget for, was first of all, do you believe in angels? And so 600 of them said yes. So 75%, about in line with the U.S., the rest of the world is up there over half, but not as high. And then we asked of those 600, how many did you have an angelic experience or an encounter? And then 34%, about 214 of them said yes. And then when those who said yes, we said, so out of this list of 12 things, and we had a bunch of things, what were they? The number one experience was dreams that are unlike vivid dreams that are unlike any other dreams. That was the number one.
Yes. And we don't even know what a dream is. so a really special dream. Like, wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Mm. Wow.
But
what else was on that list?
Yeah, I was about to ask too. What else did they say?
So the second one was the second highest was having the urge to stop, go in a different direction, hear a voice like,
oh, yeah,
stop. It's a, my favorite. It's a change.
Yeah. Yes.
And then repeating numbers, animal, seeing an animal, but insects, regularly, smelling scents that aren't there, smelling something that's not there, hearing your name called when no one's there.
We've had guests talk about that. What is that?
Everyone about their name being that. Called?
Yeah, yeah, no one I knows haven't. What that is, but we all have had it. We're used to it.
Yeah. You should, like, somebody says your name.
So, and they're not there, and it's no big deal, right? You don't go looking for them.
So
you know what it is, but what is that? It's so weird. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, that was it was a cool thing, and it kind of set up. In the beginning, we didn't know where it was going to fit in anywhere, but it certainly fits in well with the book, looking for angels and having some data anyway. And, it's not the biggest study around, but it does show some provide
really
some information.
Cool. Yeah,
I'd love to do another study with a larger population.
I think you will. This book is really good, listeners and watchers. I haven't read the whole thing. It's a cool thing. One of my favorite things about it is because I do have ADD, and I really do. And I do tend to it's hard for me to start a book. So there's a lot of places to start and then go back and begin. And once I'm, what I'm saying? For me, that's really a big bonus. But it's really cool. The sections that I looked at that really I just loved. That I learned a lot from, let's put it out that way. Especially in the way it was worded, was this section about the chakras in the book. The way everything was described here, I could relate to some of the health issues and the feeling. I do Reiki as well. Okay, and I can tell that chakras block up a lot, and I haven't cleared them out all the way. I have to do it a lot, and I'm working on a lot of that stuff on chakras. So, of course, that's one of the ones that interested me, and it's really cool. It's not just that. It talks about energies, levels, and stuff like that. And it's just, I really like how all this was worded, and I love how it talks about the chakras above and below us. And I just really like that. And it's really laid out very, very beautifully, but listeners, in this book, it has lots of descriptions of all kinds of angels, about 2 pages per angel or deity or spirit, kind of spirits. I think it's unsighted masters. I'm sorry. And deities. I went to Raphael and of course Ariel, because I've had experiences with those angels specifically that were impactful to me. Mm-hmm. Especially Archangel Raphael. And when I read this, I was like, wow, this is exactly everything that I don't put into words. I have no idea how to put it into words. You guys did it just amazingly well. And it taught me a lot too. But it was really interesting. It's like the stuff that some of the stuff is in here, you could only know if you talk to him.
Yes.
You know, yes. And I don't know it, but then I read some of it as like, I knew like the character and then I've seen the staff, you know, and I didn't know what that was. It was just there. I didn't think about it, you know, and it's just interesting things like that. And then the,
yeah, and that's what we wanted the book to be, is kind of, you know, it starts out with angels and religion, and I, you know, picked the four main religions and the planet, kind of do a little piece of, you know, get a little flavor of what are angels in Christianity and Islam and Buddhism and Hinduism.
Like, yeah, that's really cool.
And then for those, and that's kind of my bias is, and I believe that's what I'm here on earth to do, is to help people make a step, you know, from practical science as they know, you know, at the time to the spirit world. And so in
used to be together. So, they used to go together.
Yes. Yes.
Really well.
Yes. And so I kind of address, you know, angels in science, you know, why can't we see them? You know, what are our limitations of our senses? And then in this, in the psychology side of it, you know, like where, you know, mind and consciousness and where do
we? And ethics and immorality and stuff like that comes into play.
So, you know, and I wanted to keep it, you know,
there is a section about ethics in here. I would put it that way.
Yes.
Not exactly a section, but there's a lot of stuff about, you know, think about what you're doing.
Rights. Yes.
Yeah. That's right. I love that. I love that. Mm. You know, have respect, have gratitude, and this kind of, and you talk about how to do all the things like that. And
And then in the psychological and side of it, I tee up, you know, for the total unbeliever, I tee up, you know, there's, you know, there is a reasonable base to say there is a spirit world out there, that our mind, and that our, even our minds, us, we are not just physically based, you know.
Yes.
And then it kind of tees up the spirit world. And then in part three, you know, understanding the modern day angels, and then kind of reset to say, okay, I want to connect. Here's how you do it step by step.
Yes. So, yes.
Yeah. And then angel stories from the listeners from the podcast in there. So
what was your favorite angel story?
My favorite angel story? Mm-hmm. It was the germ of the idea that got me going on this book. And it's
your angel story.
Well, not mine, but it was one I read about, chapter two.
That's what I was just looking for. It, yeah.
Archangel Metatron. And I'm like,
wow, that's weird, because I flipped it open to that when I first picked up the book today. When we were doing this podcast, it opened up to that one.
Yeah.
So, wanting to say something.
So, you know, at first, and I write about this, like, you know, Metatron sounds like a J.J. Abrams, you know, Transformer, you know.
I know, right?
Yeah.
It does. Yeah. I think there is one called Metatron.
Yeah. Is it Metatron? Megatron?
Megatron is a friend of mine named Megan who loves Metatron.
Oh,
okay. Calls herself Megatron. Yes. I don't know if that's the same person you're thinking of.
but briefly, you know, I learned about Metatron when I was reading an article about Carlos Santana in 2000. Wow. And I love, you know, big, you know, I like rock, classic rock.
I like Santana.
And blues. And so, it was an interview with him, and it like, oh, let's see what's up with Carlos. And he starts out on his mystical and spirit, very, very spiritual life, and how it's part of his music, part of his life.
You can hear it.
And yes. And so, and then the other thing, which I happened at the same time, was he had gone through a kind of a desert time where he didn't do anything. And then he came out with a album called Supernatural.
Is that Smooth,
okay. Rob Thomas, Supernatural had a various artists.
That was okay. That's what I was getting confused on. It's like, because I got you.
Yeah. So what he said was a few years earlier, he was at a spiritual bookstore, and there's some people out in this anterior room, and they go, who's that? And they go, oh, they're channeling Archangel Metatron. And he goes, wow, that's cool. So he goes in, and, you know, I guess a few times later, Metatron tells him that he is going to make an album and it's going to be very popular. And so he's like, cool. So he makes this album. It's great. And he just won a Grammy for the album. And I think it was the same night. And Metatron came to him and said, we have given you great success in this work. Now we want something back. And he was wondering, well, what does that mean? What does that mean? Mm-hmm. And he said, we want you to tell the world about your abuse. And that he was sexually abused, abused every other day for 2 years when he was, 10 or 12 years old. Mm-hmm. And he had not told anyone about this. And he was like resisting it, like, no, I don't want to do it. And they go, no, if you want this and your work to continue to go, help people heal. And so he did just that. He went on Newsweek and the Rolling Stone magazine and on telling everyone about, because he said, when people say, hey, here's someone who was abused significantly, and they lived through it and they can stand up and say, I'm healed. He said, that's a tremendous. Mm-hmm. Now here's the other kicker. Right around that time, I don't know if you remember, right around 2000s, it's when the big abuse scandals hit the Catholic Church.
Oh yeah.
Millions.
I remember.
That's when this whole thing happened.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So to me,
people needed to hear that.
Yes. And so to me, when you look at, and don't mean to disparage the Catholic Church, but it happened. Mm-hmm. And to me, you're looking, angel stories in the Bible and this and that. And
they are. Well, Catholics are known, especially in the South, for like worshiping in the South. They call it worshiping. Anything but God is you can't do that in a lot of Southern religions. Like Catholics worship lots of things. They worship angels, worship, if you want to call it that. They will hush from angels and saints and God and
Jesus.
And Holy Spirit,
the saints,
Mary Magdalene and Mary and everybody, and Saint Joseph and everybody. They just ask everybody for help, and it's okay, so mysticism is okay for a lot of Catholicisms. Catholics
and even Protestants.
But that did need to happen. That was out of control.
Thing that got me was like, I had known, because I studied the Bible very in depth ways over my life. And you hear the stories and, Archangel Gabriel went to Mary and said, you're going to be, you're going to be mother to the Savior. And Gabriel brought the Quran to Allah, to Muhammad. But that was thousands of years ago. This was 1999.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this has got to be the biggest angel story I've ever heard. So that's why I put it in there.
It makes me wonder, because angels don't really help us unless we ask them. So maybe he knew there was something to it. Maybe he said, I'll serve you in any way you ask, if you can help me with this. Whatever it was, from the recognition that he needed. And he got that. He was healed from but he didn't fix that for himself. And that's probably also what they wanted him to heal.
Yes.
Did it make you happy? Probably not. You still need to heal something.
Right.
And fix something big now that you can, And I bet that was the most healing thing he could do. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Him being in that position, definitely.
Yeah,
he went through that, and he got through it. And now look at him. I'm sure a lot of people looked up to him.
Yeah. And if you ask an angel, they're not going to make a deal with you unless it's in your best interest.
He has a foundation.
Your best interest, whoever's, asking for help from an angel.
Yeah, he has a foundation for people who have been abused. I think children. I think it's just children too. But anyway, that was my favorite big angel story.
That's huge. Yeah,
I like that one.
Yeah, it's a really big one. That's
some people didn't want me to put it in the book. They're like, "Come on, this is a little."
I don't know.
No, I cannot put this in the book. And it's got to be its own chapter.
It's the truth,
I mean, I'm sure he would have happened.
Yes.
And it's something that everybody knows about, that can everybody can remember that happening, and how important it was that it did. So I was raised Catholic, and I think I was in maybe high school when that all came out.
Mm-hmm.
not sure, but
yeah, 1999.
Okay. I was just out of college then. I was in, no, I was back in college then in 99. I was in Mobile. That was, yeah, I was still, I had, last time I'd gone to a Catholic mass though, it had been about 94, or I think I had to go with my parents to like the Catholic masses at Christmas.
Yeah.
You know, and I usually go hang out with a friend outside, you know, because I was kind of angry at the Catholic Church because of how they treated women. That was how I, because I love spirituality and I never really wanted to be Catholic because the women couldn't do anything. I didn't think I had a choice, you know?
Right.
And then when I was older, I was like, oh, well, I do. Okay. Well, I'll look at other stuff. I couldn't really find anything I liked. You know, or that.
Well, they do have, you know, but, Mother Mary. I mean, Mary.
Well, no, the in do you have, were you raised? I guess you weren't raised Catholic, but no. Nuns consecrate the Eucharist. They can't. No. All they can do is teach.
Oh, I see.
They can't do the things the men can do that are spiritual and blessed and holy.
Yes,
they can. In my opinion, why? There's no reason they can't except somebody said so. And that's just, I can't. That's something I will always have that bone to pick with the church. It's not the only way they limit women in the spiritual part of the church. You know, I can understand politics in church. I don't want to understand it. So I've worked in churches. So, as a sound tech. So I've seen a lot of interesting things, and one of them was a Catholic church. So, and you can smell the angels in the churches. That's one thing, you know, I think I heard one of, maybe it was on one of her podcasts, or they were talking, other people talk about the smell. They smell angels sometimes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And roses, and Mother Mary, Mary Magdalene, I mean, Mary, Mother of Jesus, roses.
Roses. I have never, I didn't know that, but the one I smell is angels, and it has a very, and I don't know if it was in her podcast or in this book that someone just I saw it and I was, I heard it. It's just, they described it perfectly. It's like a sweet kind of, essence, like a sweet kind of smell, but to me it tastes like the Eucharist is like when I take it and I kind of smell it through my up my nasal cavity, like my nerve there. It does, that's what it smells like, the angels do to me anyway, and they're always in the churches, like almost every church I've ever been in, I have that smell overpowering, but especially the Catholic churches, don't know why. Everyone.
I had a love hate relationship with organized religion, mainly Protestant. And then I my life, even though I was dedicated to, at the time, Presbyterian Church, did everything to the T.
And
my life still fell apart.
Yeah.
And then I was in a very, very down, dark time. And then I'm like, F the church, I'm not doing this anymore. And then I started my spiritual quest, you know.
Yeah, the church should be that spiritual quest, right? Yes. And it wasn't. So that's the psychology first, kind of, was your first step, because that was a science mixed in with kind of philosophy.
Yeah.
That is where science meets metaphysics right now, I guess. Psychology.
That's my space. I love that space.
It's a great space. I bet you help a lot of people.
And the thing is, you know, quantum physics, I mean, people are like, oh, you know, it's a word, but it's, I say, provides a crack in the door to the mechanistic Newtonian physics that we've lived with for, you know, hundreds of years. You know,
it cracks a lot of doors and ceilings and weird stairways.
Yes,
and,
yes.
Are those stairs?
spooky interactions, as Einstein said about two electrons interacting with each other.
Just great distances the observer, away. The observer.
Yes, of all that stuff. So that's what I like about that. And
Me too. It's
that expansive. It's that science, you know. A friend of mine, one of my good friends, said, "So, you know, I don't believe in angels because, you know, it's not scientifically valid." And he's a very devout Catholic. And I said, "Really?" I said, "So you don't believe?" You know, he said, "It's got to be proven that angels and spirits exist." You know,
but who do you think proves it?
I go, "Oh, but you believe in the virgin birth, the resurrection, and forgiveness of sins." And he goes, "Well, it's written in a book." I go, "Well, that's not scientific validation." You know, so
you haven't really thought about it that much and didn't.
Yeah. I kind of backed off and said, like, you know, we all choose what we believe.
We do.
That's why it's called a belief. Yeah.
That's why it's called a belief. Yeah.
Missy, I know you must have some questions. Angel Girl.
I've been thinking through every now and then. So tell me more about the book. You know, what is the most thing that has changed you since you have written the book spiritually?
Well, certainly opening up my psychic senses, but more importantly, you know, my spiritual connections. Mm-hmm. You know, because you know, just going through and you know, when you write books, you know, like you write chapters, and then you're like, nah, not those chapters. You know, I'm not gonna put those chapters in or whatever. You know, so there's tons of material and kind of what would the reader want to hear? You know, and so you kind of condense things and get to the meaning of you know why this list of archangels, you know, like why not other ones, you know, and then, you know, just and then while there's
I like that them, it keeps it you know? Simple because there's so many and yes. The ones I look through and there's like a glossary and then there's a dictionary or not, it's like a glossary yes. of yeah, the glossary, ones you can go right to
yeah.
And I like that there's not a 5,000 of them. There are specific ones, but and we talked about this, I think, was it before the podcast or was it, did we already talk about this? How, like with, oh, I did, I think, during the podcast, I can't remember. There are parts in these descriptions of the angels. And I think it was before the podcast, right? When we were talking about how this is not stuff that you would know unless you talked to
them. Yes. Yeah, the chakras. Yeah. Yeah.
And right. and this stuff, not the chakras. I wouldn't know that. Maybe I should ask. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the stuff about the specific angels, there's like a couple mm-hmm. pages or more on specific deities, angels and ascended masters. I like that it's not, you know, too many. It's just and they all have a similar theme for people mm-hmm. because these are ones that most people have been around that I know of. I've never heard of most of these, you know, not mm-hmm. all of them, mm-hmm. but I have heard of most of these. And that's pretty telling because I don't know much about this stuff, you know, deities. I know mm-hmm. I know the archangels. And I know some deities, and I know a lot more about the Ascended Masters than I used to. Getting there, mm-hmm. learning about that. That's a kind of ongoing. Oh, y'all are, but I love how you did this.
And then the other thing to answer your question, Misty, was the how-to. You know, I'm a big how-to person, and mm-hmm. so the how-to connect, the meditations, and we, you know, we did the audiobook. There's an audiobook version, and we're like. Nicole, we disagree on how it came about. I was like, let's do an audiobook. You know, I've never done one and like, I'll give it a shot, you know? And so we both narrated them. And she said she knew all along she wanted to do it anyway. So the audiobook's out there and it's been outperforming the paperback on some months.
Yeah, that's pretty
typical. I think mainly because of maybe the meditations, maybe because people like audiobooks, but
they love them. They love them. But
I love the
meditations.
Yeah. I might download it now that you said that it's available
to download. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And so that's the other thing, the how to, because like I said, I you know, my thing is to help people connect and, you know, if they're afraid, if they're not sure, you know, and how do I get started with it? You know, connections. And so that's what I like.
Yeah.
Because you meet people.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. What were you going to say?
You meet people who have very solid connections, you know, their spirit team is, you know, with them all the time, and they're practitioners, you know, to my spirit team, you know, Archangel Michael said this or that. And I'm like, I'm not there yet. I'm not.
You okay? You just are if you think you are.
Well, I know. Limiting belief.
Limitation right? That's all so. I know. That's how it was from every time I started like asking an angel for help, like specifically an archangel. I was like,
yeah.
Excuse me.
Am I allowed
to do it? And then, you know, right. Well, not that I felt stupid. I thought I was going to like insult them. Why would they help me? And like, that's what I felt like. I'm not there yet. But then they didn't come across as I expected them. Mm. And then some other people were accessing them like you talk about. I'm like, they just seem to do it like it's a spirit guide or a spirit, not necessarily different because it's an angel, but it's a spirit, you know, a spiritual conversation, that language of the spirit. And it's the same thing going on with the angels in a way, but they have other ways of communicating too, that are energetic. It's not even a language. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's just very strange. Mm-hmm. And some of these things are expressed in these descriptions in the book of these angels that you can't really know. I mean, unless you've experienced it, you know, heard about it from people who have. So, I think that's great.
Yeah. And that, and we made it as, you know, guidebook, you know, so that, you know, you'll be like, oh, let me delve into, you know, archangels, you know, at this point, you know, but we're a week or two. I'm like, well, wait, let me get back to that connecting thing.
And
like,
yeah, it feels good to kind of jump around.
What is the Buddhist perspective on angels? You know, so
what is it? So what is the Buddhist perspective? And I saw that in the book, but you said it in the beginning. It was in the beginning of the book. What is there?
Well, the challenging thing with Buddhism is, you know, the whole reality thing.
Yeah,
it's like,
that's what I was wondering. So, what are they saying?
So, you know, projections, you know, certainly a lot of projections. Of our unconscious into the angel world. So they don't have angels per se, you know, but what they do have, well, they do. The closest thing that I could see was the bodhisattvas, you know, that are on the road to enlightenment, but I think that's how you pronounce it.
I don't know how to pronounce it. Yeah. I was trying to say what you said, because I always say it wrong.
Bodhisattva, I think. Yeah.
Okay.
They put their own path to enlightenment on hold to help others. And so they are human. And so some, you know, like any religion, there's thousands of interpretations.
Yes.
Of this and that. Most of them would say that they're angel-like beings. But more modern-day Buddhists like Thich Nhat Hanh and Dalai Lama will say that you and I are bodhisattvas. You know, if we give our lives of service to others, we can be that. So that was the closest thing out of Buddhism. But the whole reality thing and fear. It was a good kind of review of that. One story I picked out was that, you know, about how what fear is like, and that there's nothing really real. And they say, suppose somebody's in a dark room, and in a corner of the room they see a snake, and it's coiled up, and it's about to strike. And they get fearful, like, oh my God, this is going to happen. And somebody else walks in the room and go, what's the matter? They go, well, there's a snake over there. Be careful. Like, it's a coiled up rope. And the guy goes over and kicks the rope. Like, it's not a snake, it's a rope. And so that's all of life is that. We project.
Yeah, well, I always felt like Buddhism also kind of went on a deeper level, that we also project like everything kind of.
Oh, yes.
What do they say? Bodhisattva.
Bodhisattva.
I always want to put an E for that I. I feel like when I've studied them for, I used to ghostwrite a lot, and I studied them for a book I wrote. And specifically Kuan Yin and the Dalai Lama. And and what I found from the Buddhist perspective that I do like is that I think they would probably, maybe they might say, like, why would you need an angel if you're just perfectly happy where you are? Because that's what their goal is, to just be existing right now and okay, happy, healthy, enlightened, whatever, you know, just great. Just okay. Just doing just right. Because of that, they train themselves not to want anything. They don't have to ask the angel for anything, even if it exists. So I guess it wouldn't really matter to them if it did or not.
Right. Yeah. So those lines, like I said, they're kind of blurred and a lot of projections, a lot of reflections and stuff, but you still can, if anything, can pull out that being, that human, whatever it may be, you know, that has put their own path of progression on hold, you know, to help others. You know, it's just, you know, what love is, you know.
It's true. Yes.
Very well said.
I did have one last question about the book, and I wanted to, it was about the back of the book. You say that you wrote this book. One of the things you say in here on the back of the book, let me find exactly what it says. Give me a minute. Watch y'all talk. I got to find exactly this phrase. I have to look.
So what is your favorite angel so far, Scott?
There you go. Great question.
Well, my, And then recently, I kind of identified this, and it's probably because of my Christian upbringing, but the ascended master of Jesus is my you know, on my angel team, I guess, or my spirit team. Other than that, it's most likely Archangel Gabriel, because I'm all about communication and teaching. So one time, actually, these are things, there's other things, lots of stories between Nicole and I and others that, you know, serendipity, coincidences, and stories that came up while writing the book, which are really cool. But this one time I said to Nicole, I'm getting this sensation, like somebody's like poking my shoulder, like almost throwing me off. And when I do that, it's like when I'm procrastinating and maybe doing something else, and I need to keep going with part of the manuscript. And she said, oh, and I was on the phone with another intuitive, and they both said, oh, that's probably Gabriel, you know, communication.
Yeah. Daniel, well, right? Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so perfect. Did you stop and listen, or did you?
No, I kind of got it then. Like,
you got it when he tapped you.
I got the message. I'm like, okay, cool. I get it. You know,
right, seems like you're doing it. Yes. Yeah, that's really cool. And but, you did ask at some point, I guess, something. Or maybe you asked it anytime you want to help me.
Yeah. Anytime I start writing, I ask, you know, that, you know, my guides and angels, you know, thank you, guides and angels, for writing through me. You know,
that's really cool.
Yeah.
I try to start my day off like that. Like, every day I start my day off by asking my angels to help me make good decisions for that day and just guide me through. And then at the end of the day, I try to thank them for, you know, what they did throughout the day, you know, whatever it was, or, you know, to at least acknowledge and thank them for it at the end of the day.
Yes.
I try to do that every day. I try.
Yeah. Well, gratitude, you know, is such a huge, powerful thing. You know? Mm-hmm.
It'll open your heart wide up. Feel good. Feel great. Divine love. Oh, I think it's like the door to divine love, to feel it. You know, if you feel some gratitude, that door is going to open if you want it to. You know, just like get that divine love feeling from whatever gives it that unconditional divine love, whatever it may be. And I can't find it on the book. And I think maybe it was in an email, or maybe it was on the Amazon page, or maybe I just hallucinated it. But I could have sworn I read that part of the reason you wrote this book was because you felt like you had to educate people about specifically that they can talk to angels. Every single person can talk to angels. Did you actually have it written anywhere in your bio or anything?
Well, it's the shift, you know, I think, is that that's occurring. And so you know, and this is the angel book is like, oh, you're all about angels, and you know, and you wrote this book. I'm like, yeah, but this is only one piece of this, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's the bane of every author.
as well, they get typecast.
They say you did well with this, so you have to keep writing that.
Oh, you know? Yes. So you know, one of my kind of drives is to. Is to go through my spiritual journey, which has been quite, unusual, but to share my findings with the world, you know.
Findings, so, that's what it was, yes. Findings.
So,
yes.
So, you know, what's happening now, and I don't know if you're familiar with it, but we're at a book signing lecture, and I go, so, like, and I said to Nicole before, like, all right, I'm going to go through the shift, and people, you know, then quickly go through what's happening and why, you know, what's going on with your religion and stuff. And then I asked the people, like, so who's familiar with the shift, you know, that's going on? And nobody raised their hand. Yeah. So it really threw me off. Like, so
that would throw me off.
Basically,
some people don't know what to talk about, or that's the word they'd have for it too.
Yes. So the shift is people moving from, you know, so you have quantitative data that say people are moving away from organized religion. In the United States, it's the highest ever, the 30% of, you know, 2021's poll from Gallup poll says 30% of Americans do not associate themselves with religion. And I call it the rise of the nuns. That it's none. Yeah, Star Wars. I got to get a Star Wars thing in there.
But I love it.
But yeah, there are no affiliated religion. And then the polls, the director of research at Pew Research says that within probably 20 years, it's going to be more than half of the U.S. will be unaffiliated with religion. You look worldwide, you know, people are leaving. 2 million Catholics left the church in Germany in the last 2 years, about 1 million. So people are moving away for various reasons. And but spirituality is high. You know, yes, interest in psychic services are high.
Yes.
In kind of revitalization of the New Age beliefs are high.
Yes.
And so my thing, and this is it, my thing is that where do people go? They don't go to church. If they don't go to church anymore, bring their kids to church, where do they go? Where do they learn? And I'm like, well, we have, you know, there's lots of resources. We this book would be one of them to say, okay, here's a spiritual, here's a guide to be connected spiritually. Yeah,
and if they feel like what most people I know do, or who have, you know, like the kind of audience you guys have, and the way this book is so well written, I feel like you could do stuff like retreats. And I know a lot of authors who do pretty well doing that. You know, they get their book out, but they feel connected to the authors.
Yep.
And then retreats, and they'll take classes with them and get educated even more on the things that are in the books, and further on if they know, if they have to, like, you tell them, well, I also know numerology. Oh, okay.
You know, one day I'm going to open up, you know, this is my mission. One day I am going to open up a place where children can come and they can be taught how to meditate.
Yes.
How to manifest, how to love, how to control, and how to be who they really are. Because, I mean, you teach your kids all kinds of things. You take them to soccer, you take them to cheer practice, but where do you take them really to know who they really are and teach them?
Yeah.
Not in school. Yeah. In school, it's not a class.
One day I will open up a center for children to teach them. I will.
One of the stories I have in the psychological section is that why do invisible friends go away? And so it's like 37% of children under the age of 12 have invisible friends. You know, they talk with them, and they this, and my friend here and there. But usually after the age of 12 or so, the invisible friends go away.
Yep.
Why? Because that's the time they go into school. That's the time they expand people. And even if the parents don't, even if the parents encourage it, once they get out in society, it's like,
that's self-conscious.
You get laughed at when you say that once, and you're not going to bring it up.
Right, and that's
the whole thing about
it's the first time you ever felt that. Yes, because as kids, I never felt that way. You know, like,
right. And then you have the neural connections and all that stuff. Just like playing a piano, you know, you build up those connections, or you extinguish them. And so I think, Misty, you know, that's a like fantastic thing. I wish it would happen more, because then children growing up will have those connections their whole life, and then it'd be a whole different.
I mean, if you need it,
She's planning on doing is going to do great. And I think if we can teach our youth, like she wants to, she's going to in the many ways.
If you knew then what you know now as a child,
they have to have a reason for their spirituality, which just gives them a reason. Get to know yourself instead of worship.
Right.
You know, most religions are worship something.
Right. Yes. I want them to know themselves and love themselves.
Yes.
And learn how to cope,
with everything, energy, everything. You'd be great at that. And giving someone the ability to meditate as a natural skill, like when they're growing up.
Yes, that's the best gift ever.
Age, you know, like right then, it'll be there forever. It's just something that you'll be able to slip into, maybe. If it's like math, you know, I can't do that. But I can slip into other stuff I learned, like cursive.
Quantitative, you can measure it, right?
Yeah.
And then there's a metaphysical perspective, you know. So now, I don't know if you are, I'm not 100%, I'm not well-versed in astrology, but talking to the astrologers, you know, two big transits that are happening now is Saturn entering Pisces, mm-hmm. which will impact our planet until 2026. And then Pluto entering Aquarius will be the next 20 years. And that's a wholesale transformation of reality, you know, and when these transits happened in the past, you have the Age of Enlightenment, you have, you know, tremendous things. And we had Neil Donald Walsh was a guest on last week, and he was talking about the storm before the calm. And what we're seeing now, because people are like, oh, the shift, and everyone's going to shift to a higher vibration, and everyone will know that we're all connected. I'm like, I don't really see that happening right now.
I hope so, but it's hard to picture. It's hard to picture, but you just never know what's going to happen. Sometimes, in any sense, association feeling of that bad way. Not knowing what's going to happen because everything's been so unexpected. Like for a lot of people, and like. The astrology definitely reflects it.
Yes. You know? Yeah. And I like that term, the storm before the calm, because that's what's happening now. And then I'm not big on a tarot card reading, but I do know about the tower card.
Yeah.
You know, and that, you know, I kind of wonder, like, are we going to have a major catastrophe? Hopefully not.
I hope not.
Before something comes up, because that's what that card means, right? Is like
not always a catastrophe, it's something sudden and uncontrollable.
Yeah.
Usually bad. My cat just had a nightmare again, like this happened the last podcast I did last night. He's just going crazy because he can't get to me. When he has a nightmare, he needs to get to me. Oh, now he's better. He broke something, so he feels better. Okay, we're good. He made a lot of noise. I don't think he broke anything. I think he just made noise. Sorry about that.
I think is that, you know, and I certainly see a transition happening. Who knows? It might be over quickly. It may not be, but there's probably going to be a time of chaos and storm and, you know, and it's going to be people like us, you know, anyone who has a connection with something outside of this world. Everyone's going to need our help. You know, to stabilize, to keep grounded, you know, to keep the faith, to keep looking beyond this matrix world that we're in.
And, you know, a lot of people have had some visions of a future where we're like, I have a couple of people, I've had people tell me some different ways of what these images they see in the future of like people working together to like energetically purify water and stuff like that. You know, like the oceans and stuff. I don't know how they do it, but they say they've had visions of this where like people are, I don't know. Sounds interesting. Yeah. Most of the stuff I see is like not that detailed, like big scale. Well, so it's very personal.
I mean, even that right there, like, okay, purify water, that's great. But like, why?
Oh, they were talking about like the oceans, the seawater, so that it won't get the oil. The people who worry about the water.
Oh, I see. Okay. I was thinking like, why would we want,
someone who's worried about the water going bad.
Right.
The oceans being trashed and dumped in a soup. So fish die. And I mean, in Alabama, you don't eat the fish out of our river. That's for sure. The Tennessee River. Do we miss the Misty face? You don't eat the fish. Yeah. Sometimes they don't look like fish either. there's a lot of plants on the river, of course, and one of them is a nuclear plant, so of course there's all kinds of jokes that that's where everything comes from. There are catfish that are like 15 feet that have been caught in this river though.
Wow.
Yeah.
And are tested, are they toxic?
Probably.
No one I know has eaten it, so I don't know why, but they were just all told not to, but they won't tell us why. Really, it's Alabama. They don't tell us why everything's the way it is. It just is the way they say so. And but it's not the way the angels are. The angels want us to do our best. I feel like, I don't know what the angels want for sure, but I feel like they want just us to love ourselves and give it back. You know, back out. Yes. Whatever love we got for ourselves, give it back out 1,000 times over if we can. And even if we can't even muster anything, just like, you know, like take care of ourselves. Even you ask an angel to give you gratitude,
that's it.
Like a great feeling. You know, if you feel bad,
you know, the angels, the angels, us, you know, we're all connected.
Yes.
You know, to,
and then you said that in the beginning of the podcast or before we talked, before we started, we are all connected, and it's, and we live in a disconnected kind of society. I think you said something like that.
Yes.
Yeah. And it feels that way when we're in person and stuff, but then you do, like you also said this, sometimes you get in sync with somebody. And it's like, whoa, you know, and there's, but I think that is the energy too, or maybe it's karmic or what is, there's a lot of ways you can explore it from now, not just you feel familiar. Oh, well, I won't think about that, you know, or talk about that because everyone's thinking about it. You know, they do, they think about those things, I think, you know, why did that person seem so familiar when I met them and they're my best friend now, you know, stuff like that happens, you know.
I think that that, I personally think that that's the last big awakening is the realization that we're all connected. You know, the five finger thing, like here's Islam, Buddhism, you know, about there, you know, here's you, me, my enemy, we're all connected in the same hand.
Yes.
You know,
yes. And we're all here doing the same thing.
And I think that I kind of like the analogy to let's call this guy Nick, right? So Nick was growing up in the 15th century. And looking around, and back then, everyone, you know, there's no lights at night. So everybody was studying the stars, and everybody was like, okay, this is how it works. And Nick saw some stars that didn't follow paths, you know, they kind of wandered. And so they're wandering around, and they're like, well, why, you know, let's call these wanderers, you know? And then Nicholas Copernicus eventually came up with like, no, the sun doesn't revolve around the earth, the moon. No.
Didn't he go to jail like for a little while, prison?
No, he didn't, but several others did. Others. You know, certainly Braun and Galileo. And but that was 70 years. When he came up with that theory, there was a 70-year gap of the science in a Catholic church held the science
They are the whole reason the science and metaphysics are separated, spirituality and science.
Yeah. But in any case, it was blasphemy to think of anything different. So, and then it's certainly society. So society and science were against that idea that, no, this isn't the way it is. You know, right. You know, he's saying the planets, the wanderers, which is the Latin word for planet, you know, that make, they make sense when you put the sun at the center and then us all revolving around. And so to me, it's like that big of a deal is what is going to be coming.
I hope so. I hope you're right. And I let's say it is. Let's just say it will be. Yeah. I like it. Yeah. I think I feel it coming too, but I really hope there's no big problem that we have to go through, you know, but you never know. Like you said, most of the time there's a tower, you know, there will be an incident, something to fix after something to fix. But right now everything's pretty broken, and we, people are arguing and people are angry, and in general in the news media just lets us know about it all the time, you know, and it's in people's,
let's not go there.
Anymore.
We're gonna be positive.
We are part of the media, Misty, and we're talking about angels.
Yes, we are. We're media right now.
Yes, we are.
What did you do at Angel?
That's right.
She forgets she's a podcast host sometimes.
We all do what we can, and like this book is like you throw a rock in a pond, and the waves, you know, come out, you know, like other people are throwing their rocks in, and you know, hopefully, you know, this gets to the right person and you know, can change, help them change and help change
their lives. It feels like it's a one person at a time, but it's going to happen over a period pretty quickly. Considering, you know, how long everything else has taken so far.
I heard a great story the other day. You might've heard this. There was this kid walking along the beach, and there's these starfish that washed up, and they had to get back into the water. I don't know if they came up or washed up, but they had to get back in or else they were going to die. And so the kids, they're throwing one in, another one in. This older guy comes and said, look up the beach, look down the beach. There's tens of thousands of starfish. You know, how are you going to make a difference to them? You know, you're not going to do anything. And the kid picks up another one, throws it in, and goes, I made a difference to that one. Isn't that great?
Thank you.
Isn't that great?
Yes, I love that.
Yeah. And that's all we can do. We go by each day. Like, would I help anybody today? I don't know. Maybe I did. Mm-hmm. I think I did.
You know? That's all we can do.
Yeah.
No, we can always go actively do it too, but that's not always easy. Especially when,
yes,
you know, like, just don't feel good. Just we go can, out. You know, we can ask an angel to get you in a better mood.
Well, you know, lately I've been thinking like that, like too far ahead. Like, how can this happen? How can that happen? And then lately I've been saying, look, just go with what's in front of you right now, today. Plan the best you can, but the opportunities and things, plans work out. Don't think too far ahead. Just be present now and do.
Well, you're a writer too, so you know, projecting and making the story is part of what you do. You have to, like, it's you're ingrained to do that. And it's fun. It's fun to daydream about what might happen, the worst, the best, the craziest.
Yes.
It is fun, isn't it?
It's nice to dream,
But, like, what you're saying instead is to kind of temper it with some reality of right now and live now. Instead of, I used to live in the fantasy of whatever book I was writing at the time, you know, when I was doing work. And it was very fun. But I haven't worked on now. Now, I do want to point something very important out before I thank our sponsor. This book is considered nonfiction. Okay, thank you very much. So our sponsor is Everclear. Everclear is a website and application where you can get advice from psychics and empaths so you can get the clarity you need to create the life you deserve. And I'm an advisor on there named Lisa P. And we have a website, www.weareallpsychic.com, and a psychic school app. You can go to our website to get links to that. It's called Russick Psychic School, and it's in the Google Play and Apple Store. And Scott, where can they find this lovely book that is nonfiction? In a nonfiction in a bookstore or on Amazon?
It's wherever nonfiction books are sold.
Everywhere nonfiction.
It's on proudly. It's available on Amazon and wherever books are sold. Bookstores, your favorite bookstore, please support them. You can find out more about the book on lookingforangelsbook.com. And you can find out more. You can order the book through there as well, sign copies, and we have a gift box that you can send to your friends as well.
That's great.
Awesome.
That's wonderful.
I'm going to get one, definitely, or download it. I'm going to download it.
Yes, audiobook.
And listeners, I'll put everything he just talked about. You can find links to them in the description of the podcast. They'll be there. And lastly, I just would like to say, do you have any advice about maybe, this is just the first podcast somebody decided to listen to here, you know, and they're kind of like, well, I always felt like there were angels because I feel like that's how most people are, but they're kind of like, they're not sure exactly what their energy is, what they represent outside of religion. So they're figuring that out right now. Like, what kind of advice would you give them other than reading the book, another step they can take for themselves on their own?
And I think this is the most important step to start. It's the most important step to maintain your spiritual connection, and that is meditation. You know,
amen.
It's kind of overused now, but you got
never it's never used enough you. Though.
What works for you first? You quiet your mind, and then you can start getting into intentions and connections. But that's the first thing, to quiet your mind, to get out of this game show host reality with everything coming at us. Quiet your mind. Get into nature. And that's the only thing. I think that's the most important thing we can do.
That's great advice. Amen. That is great advice, listeners and watchers. We love you. And Misty, thank you.
Thank you, Lisa.
And Scott, thank you. Scott?
Thanks for having me. I hope it's of help.
It's been great. I'm so glad you came on. We love guests. Every guest is our favorite at the time. And then we forget about them. No, I'm just kidding. We don't. We ask them back usually. You're welcome back anytime. And thank you.
Thank you.
Misty, thank you so much, Scott. Thank you so much, listener. And peace.
Bye.